This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Many thanks to Eric McLean, fresh off the boat, breaking down week one of the ACC. And Dave's getting fired up for the Hoos in Illinois up there, the voice of the Cavaliers. With his two good feet, and he'll be ready to roll, do his thing.
And we got 14 ball games spread out over two nights here in the ACC. Friday night, A&T at Duke is an 8 o'clock start right here on ACC Network. And then we got a quadruple header for you on Saturday. More to come on that. In case you missed Justin Fuente, that's less than 15 minutes away from yesterday's show. Really good visit with the head coach of the Hokies.
Coach in a good mood, and rightfully so.
And we will review accounting before we're done today, and maybe even share some of yours that have been submitted.
I heard we've had a bunch.
We have had a bunch submitted. And then we have a birthday today. Former ACC, all-ACC basketball player celebrates a birthday today.
Excellent. We'll get in all that.
So we'll do all that. But first, let's take you to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, downtown Atlanta last night. Not good. Not good at all for the Louisville Cardinals, Pack.
Tough start when you fall behind 26-0. That's right. You got a zero on a team that couldn't tackle anybody last year.
Yeah.
Coach Satterfield could not have been happy. We had 1,000 targeting calls, it seemed like, in the first half. I wasn't sure. I didn't think we'd have enough guys left at the rate we were kicking people out left and right. We'll get to that momentarily. But the good news, if you're looking for Louisville's perspective, what's the silver lining? The silver lining is you scored on your last four possessions. The problem was you fell so far behind, quite frankly, the game was over. But, again, you're trying to build some positivity here. Got outplayed. I thought Ole Miss was more physical.
Yep.
And, you know, the turnover bug, still a problem. Two turnovers last night. Ole Miss had zip. That's got to be a deal that this season for Louisville, if you're going to have success, you have to win that. I called them the team of mystery. Wes, I kind of feel like they're still there. I mean, you know, I think there's going to be some spikes with this crowd, and there are going to be some games like last night where, quite frankly, they were out of it at halftime.
Yeah. Louisville only had 107 yards of offense in the first half. Best performance by Ole Miss defensively since November of 2014 when they did that to Presbyterian, who at the time, I think, and still is FCS. So Louisville had 28 yards passing. The Rebels' fewest yards allowed in a first half since November of 2016 when they allowed 37 yards to Georgia Southern. So there you go. I mean, it's all kind of stacking up that way. And then, you know, you're going to hear Scott Satterfield in a moment. And, yes, tale of two halves. Horrible 30 minutes to begin the ball game. What can Louisville do to correct it? Well, that's going to be the challenge. Second half was better, but as Satterfield said, got to be able to take second half and move forward with it.
We never got in a rhythm in the first half. You know, we never got the sticks moving. And I think, obviously, when you do that like we did in the second half, then everybody feels more comfortable, and you're in more of a rhythm, and you can move the football, and you can go score points. We didn't have that in the first half, probably for a lot of different reasons. You know, it's not any one player. You know, it was overall as an offense. And, you know, we had to do better. And we did in the second half. That was the thing that I was proud about with our offense. They came back in the second half and had some really nice drives and went down and scored touchdowns. And, you know, that's where we got to be.
All right. There's the coach of the Cards.
You get a sense, a little dejection there. They just did not play well in the first half. Give Ole Miss credit, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you got to give the other guy props when they get to sit there and give you a zero in the first half. I just expected this to be a track meet up and down.
Oh, yeah.
You kind of got that in the second half. But, you know, when you're down 26 zip, man, you're in trouble. I mean, so they got to figure that deal out.
Let me ask you this, too. There has got to be Louisville, Carolina, Florida State, to a degree, although I think Florida State feels a lot better than Louisville and Carolina.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt.
Miami.
Put them in that category.
Miami. You know, you're thinking about these teams that were ranked. You know, NC State feels pretty good. They beat South Florida like you should. Then you get a situation with Louisville where you're trying to take that step forward. Carolina, Miami, the same type deal. Clemson. You want to play these games. They're the first games, right? These four schools played these headline games. And you put all that into it, and you go through it, and it's the first game. sometimes it's hard when the first game doesn't go well. You got to kind of almost recycle what you did and see if you can take the second, the 2.0 at it the next week.
Well, see, I tell you what, everybody's got a different opinion on this. I think that if you feel like you're going to be pretty good, I want to play a tough opener. I want to find out just exactly where we need help moving forward. If you get the win, great. But it still gives you question marks about, hey, you know, right, we need to shore up the defensive line or whatever the case may be. The problem for the ACC in the week one is, hey, you had some marquee games. You didn't win any of them, right? If totally you'll be completely agree. Transparent. That's why I would not put Florida State on that list because, number one, they're probably a terrific team in Notre Dame. But, man, I think if you're Florida State, even with a loss, man, you did a lot of good things. And I think the fight that you saw in the fourth quarter – and the determination where in years past, that becomes a 35-point L. Not only was it not a 35-point L, you push it to overtime and a chance to win. Mm-hmm. So Florida State, I think, gained something from that. Same thing with Clemson. Listen, did it put your back against the wall as far as college football playoff? Yeah, but you know, you worry, if you're good enough to win 12, great, but you got to go win one. Mm-hmm. Forget 12. But you found out about your team. You know, you found out, hey, up front, we still got some issues. DJ's got to do his thing. If you're North Carolina, you don't think Mack Brown found out about his team? About what they did or didn't do in the offseason. No doubt about it. Yeah. So, and like he said, you know, had we played, you know, Mark Packer Institute of Gout and won 63-7, I mean, what do you learn about your team?
He wouldn't have scored seven.
Well, I think so. We
not with gout.
We would have hobbled in somewhere. We'd have picked a pass off and rolled in. But my point is, I think that you learn about your team
right
when you get tested right out of the gate. Now, if it doesn't go well, you got to make sure it doesn't beat you twice, right? The guys are moping around. And that's where Miami comes into play for me. Because,
absolutely.
You know, you got all the buildup. Hey, we're playing number one, Alabama, da-da-da-da. And that thing was over right after the coin toss. At mm-hmm. least felt that way. Now, mentally, you got guys that are really talented thinking, hey, we're going to win a championship. Well, you still can.
Right.
You still can. But mentally, you're going to find out, from a maturity standpoint, are we able to, number one, all right, we watched the tape. We found out what we got to work on. Let's roll up our sleeves and quit worrying about what happened on Saturday.
I'm going to throw one more in there. If you're NC State or Pittsburgh and you rolled to these easy wins last week.
Virginia,
you got to stay focused too in a different way. Easier to do off a win? Absolutely. Coaches will tell you that. But the concept here is, for all those schools that lost that have to go to the 2.0 version and say, okay, where did we tactically – mess up, you won the game, but you still got to stay to it, stay to the details, even in week two.
Well, that's why I told you in the summertime, when you look at schedules, that's why I said Pitt, Tennessee, circle it, Johnny Majors Instant Classic, right? NC State, Mississippi State, circle it, Virginia, Illinois. Now, you know, forget about the hey, week one, we got a chance to, you know, get a nice scrimmage.
I'm with you.
As Pat Narduzzi said the other day, it was a nice scrimmage.
Yep.
Competition level heats up. Yep. We'll find out about those three this week.
I agree.
So, I mean, it's a little bit different than saying, hey, we took South Florida to the woodshed. Hey, that's all fine and good. You're supposed to. Mm-hmm. On the road at Mississippi State, you'll find out about your team. On the road at Tennessee, you'll find out about your team. And in your Virginia, hey, home sweet home, well, you get a chance to prove it against a Big Ten team.
There you go.
Those are important games.
Other note is that we had targeting a buffet of it.
Ugh.
Last night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, brutal. Four players ejected
in the
first half alone. Monty Montgomery, Tabarius Peterson for Louisville, Mark Robinson, Lakia Henry for Ole Miss. And again, the calls, those kinds of things. But here's the one that got Montgomery taken off the field. He and Fagot colliding on Matt Corral. I mean, you get the call, you understand it. The problem is, and you brought this up now, we're stopping the game, we're looking at it, we're reviewing it. So the back row boys there in Bristol went and put it together for us. You ready?
Do I have to watch it again?
Yeah.
Because I was so disgusted watching it last night.
Here we are.
Night.
Now, the targeting call is going to be made.
Targeting stinks.
And then we're going to go through the process here, okay? Oh. So let's roll the video.
Can I order a pizza?
Here's the throw. Earn Corral keeps it. Bang, hit. Okay, we got a flag. Oh, there it comes in. Originally called on Fagot. Start the clock. All right, now
we're going to go walk the dogs. I'll be back when it's second down.
We got it. We're half minute in. There we go. We're going to go to the iPad. We got new technology this year, Pack. Feel good about it.
Yeah, sure do.
Yeah, all right. We're looking at it. We're talking to the communicator, who is then on the phone with the command centers. And, all right, this should not be doing – if it's targeting, we're the ball. Let's get the clock worked out. Okay, we're good. And, bang, 301 we announce. That's not bad.
How about just make a call and let's go? When a guy hits, when a guy goes head to head and the quarterback gets decapitated, it's a flag.
Right.
You're out and let's go. Second down.
All right. We don't need to review that and confirm.
I don't like the rule. I told you it's not an official thing. The officials are doing the best they can to follow whatever the rule is.
Right.
I think I said this in hour one. I think there's a big difference between somebody that's looking to hurt someone mm-hmm. versus somebody who's trying to make a football play.
I got you.
Tell me those are two separate things.
All right.
And so I don't like the rule. I didn't like it when they started it. They haven't tweaked it at all, and they need to because I think it's ruining college football, in my opinion.
Slowing it down for sure.
Well, that's a given, but I don't like the fact that you're throwing kids out who are doing the work, who are trying to make a football play. Now, if somebody's talking about their mama, hey, next time you come over the middle, I'm taking you out, hey, throw the flag and throw the dude out. I get that part. But there's a big difference between that, Wes, versus, hey, here comes the guy over the middle. Let me just wrap up and make a football play. And all of a sudden, hey, he puts his head down. I put my head down. And all of a sudden, the officials are throwing flags. And 10 minutes later, we're looking under the hood. And I got a new tablet. Hey, did you see this new tablet they gave us? This is really cool. need something from Starbucks? What would you like? Was that a latte? Come on. They need to do a better job with the rule. The officials are doing the best they possibly can. But that call is so wildly inconsistent.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Every Saturday. If you're sitting on the couch like me and you're watching whether it be the ACC, the Pac-12, or anybody in between, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You'll go within the same league. You'll see back-to-back games and the targeting call and go, oh, wait a minute now. I just watched the previous game. It was the same kind of play, and they throw that guy out. They don't for that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
There you go. All right. When we come back, Justin Fuente joined us yesterday morning early in the show. Great visit with the Virginia Tech head coach coming off the Carolina win and getting ready for the old Blue Raiders from Murfreesboro, Tennessee to roll into Lane Stadium. Coach Fuente's next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. Was that some scene Friday?
Unbelievable.
You knew it would be.
Yeah, I mean, you expected it to be incredible, and it delivered.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
Justin Fuente delivered yesterday on the show.
Sure did. In fact, we started that way with Coach Fuente and his visit. Some kind of scene you had Friday night.
It was probably the most electric atmosphere of any sporting event I've ever been to, you know, from the opening kickoff to the last play of the game. The energy never left the stadium. Our fans deserve a tremendous amount of credit for the role they played in helping us win that game. Just happy for everybody involved, our players and fans alike.
Was there a moment of like, wow, here comes the adrenaline rush? I mean, was it going through the tunnel? Was it on the field in pregame when you saw the people start to work into the seats? Because I know in July you talked about it with us at the kickoff that it was going to be, you know, such a refreshing environment to have people back in the seats after what happened last year. But when did the adrenaline hit you Friday? Was it going through the tunnel or was it sometime earlier than that?
No, I think it was earlier than that. It was, you know, they were announcing our starting lineups.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the place was just going crazy. And it was like, usually that's a little bit of a ho-hum announcement, you know, like, you know, starting at linebacker from Shelby, North Carolina, Dax Holyfield, and everybody's, you know, kind of goes about their business. But like the whole place in announcing the lineups was just going bananas. And it's been a while since you've heard that roar and felt that in your stomach. You know, and just walking around pregame, you could tell there was just this sense of energy and purpose You know, there were 66,000 people there that came to serve a purpose in that game, and they certainly did.
Coach, I just mentioned to Wes before we brought you on, I thought your guy sent a message in the opening drive. I mean, first of all, the play calling was spot on. The execution was great. And you really kind of punched North Carolina right between the eyes and just said, hey, guess what? 60 minutes, boys, let's go. And you know, again, you know, it's one drive. We still got another 50-some-odd minutes to go. But I just thought it was a tone setter for the rest of the evening.
Well, it was certainly a great way to start. You know, we wanted to make a concerted effort to not just run the football, but try to take up some clock. Mm-hmm. You know, like I really wanted, you know, Sam Howell's a fine player, but I really wanted him to spend a good portion of the evening standing on the sidelines. And we accomplished that in the first half. We did not do as good a job as we needed to of that in the second half, and our defense answered that challenge. But it was a great way to start the game. You know, our offense came out and we ran the ball pretty well and had one or two big plays in the passing game and got a touchdown and kind of set the tone from there on out.
All right, not that you need pocket analysis from like Roddy Jones and me who were in Pittsburgh getting ready to do a game the next day, and we're sitting watching the game, and Roddy said, if I'm Virginia Tech, I'm putting Braxton Burmeister, Blackshear, whoever they want in that backfield. I'm going to run behind that offensive line. Those guys up front took a challenge on in the offseason at some point. They were kind of the cog that looked like powered the engine for you.
Yeah, we feel pretty good about those guys. You know, we lost a first-round draft pick in Christian mm-hmm. Darrisaw last year that you know, was a fine player. But you know, we've got several other guys, I think, you know, are going to have careers in the NFL. So they've played a lot together. They've got experience. We've got a couple new guys working in there that seem to have kind of fit in the group seamlessly. So we feel good about that. I hope we can stay healthy there and continue to bring those guys along because we do have a little bit of talent up front.
Let's go to your quarterback because you know, a healthy Braxton Burmeister is a totally different Braxton Burmeister, right? I mean, you got him to a point where he looked as comfortable and as confident as at any other time he's been with you on Friday night. Did you have an indicator of that through the spring and obviously into the fall camp that was going to be the case?
Well, you know, I really felt good about him last year. And mm-hmm. it, you know, think back, he started the first couple games for us last year and played well. And I really felt good about the progress he's making. He was really set back by three broken toes and probably would have played more last year for us if he hadn't gotten hurt. And then played towards the end of the season. So we've seen this coming. You know, certainly when Braxton knows this, he, you know, there's some execution things that we've got to be better at, certainly in the second half, in order to be as efficient as we want to be. But what you saw, at least in the first half from Braxton, is what we've seen for a couple years now in practice and during a couple of the games we've gotten to play him.
Momentum's a funny thing. It can happen in a game. It can happen after a game, right? So now all of a sudden, you're playing. You get this great win. And here comes Middle Tennessee State. They're going to throw it around a little bit. And then all of a sudden, you're going to kind of dive back across the line here. You're going to go to West Virginia. You're going to do some things like this. For winning or losing in week one, all is not written about a season. So what's your message kind of at least early to your team in preparation for the Blue Raiders on Saturday?
No, that's good, and I'm glad we're getting ready to talk about Middle Tennessee because, you know, that's the challenge for us. Can we be a mature football team and put this game behind us and move on? We've heard about North Carolina, heard about the game for 6 months, mm-hmm. and we've got 6 days to get ready for Middle Tennessee, and they're going to come in here. And the one thing I know about Middle Tennessee, having played them when I was at Memphis, is they can run. They're always fast on both sides of the football. Stock's done a great job there for a long time. So we've got to turn the page. We got to get recharged and refocused and, you know, ultimately re-engage to our next opponent. And that's something that I've talked openly with the team about that I'm not sure we've done a very good job of. Mm-hmm. And if we are going to be a mature football team, if we're going to be an older football team or have a chance to be the type of football team that we want to be, that we talk about, then we're going to have to be able to do those things. We can't spend time reminiscing about what happened last Friday night or checking our highlights out. We got to get refocused on the next task at hand, because coming into our stadium is a very talented and fast football team that's going to come in here and try and beat the brakes off of us. That's the bottom line.
Coach is right.
How about that?
What happened Friday is old news, baby. Don't be reading those clippings, man. Gets teams in trouble. Don't go on that social media hearing about how great you are. Got to get to work.
Whether you won or lost last week, Louisville last night, Carolina Friday night, you got to be able – or won the game, NC State last Thursday, teams on Saturday, what have you. Got to be able to kind of process it and move on, good and bad. I think it's – you know, when you get the old adage you talked about yesterday, most improvement in a season comes from week one to week two, right?
Who came up with that, by the way?
Some old coach. Because that's the way it's always – you know, the old coach said. Yeah. But here's the rub on that. If you don't treat each game individually, and this here's where the coach speak gets lost and the media beats it around and fans think they're getting tricked into this deal. They're actually pretty serious about this. They know you have to move on. Like, you know, I've been around guys that played 12 one-game seasons. Like that one?
Not really.
But that's what they do. They preach focus and detail, because if you get ahead of yourself, and we can sit here and talk about October 16th being the biggest day for the Coastal, whatever the case may be. But if you get ahead of yourself as a football team, you're going to get yourself in trouble.
I have always found, regardless of sport, the teams that are able to do that are the most successful.
Right.
And it's hard, especially if you've had success.
Couldn't agree with you more.
Right. And all of a sudden, you know, you put in all the work and now you get a chance to sample it. And you go, man, it tasted pretty good. Yeah. Let's talk about it. Let's celebrate and all that stuff.
Yep.
I talked to Will Healy yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And
he's the best.
He's a tremendous coach. And, of course, he knocks off Duke Friday night, which was an amazing game. And he talked about, hey, you know what? We talked about absorbing it and really enjoying the moment. You know, let's not just fast forward to the next one. Mm-hmm. Enjoy it. But there's got to be a period of time. And most coaches give you the 24-hour rule. Hey, get it all over you. Then, hey, let's get to work. And so the best teams, best programs are able to do that. And you will find out this week of some teams that had success. If they stumble, you'll go, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I think North Carolina, to be honest with you, kind of fell into the trap all summer of hearing how great they were supposed to be. And all of a sudden, they showed up and looking around going, man, these 66,000 people in here, they don't care for us being here. And then they got punched right in the nose. I'm not exactly sure they responded.
And what did we say a week ago? There were going to be games like this. There were going to be games. There were going to be upsets. There were going to be – look at Oklahoma. They got everything in the world. Tulane's had to deal with a hurricane. They bring the game to Norman, and it comes down to an onside kick.
And, you know, they had to lead, and like, oh, we're in cruise control.
Right.
We're OU. We'll beat these guys by 50. And
correct.
Next thing you know, hey, momentum switches. You saw Notre Dame, Florida State
exactly.
Sunday night. Two good clubs. Because Florida State is starting to look the part more so. And, of course, we know Notre Dame's a top 10 team. And you know what they're all about. So it happens all the time.
A long way to go. Some folks won't think it's wrapped up. Got a long way to go.
Yeah, well, I just listen, we wait for football to start. We wait all for 8 months.
And then it's gone in a heartbeat.
And you know what? We'll get in the middle of November and people will be calling in, whether it be this show or the radio show in the afternoon. Man, Pac, where'd the season go? That's why you got to enjoy every week,
that's
man.
It.
And even if it's a lousy week, guess what? It'll be better next week.
Yep.
Just get to work.
So, reminder, you thought we were joking with Dave Kane? We were not joking. Quadruple header starts at 11 a.m. A little brunch, perhaps, for Illinois, Virginia, presented by Subway. Chris Cotter, Mark Hersley, Jalen Johnson will be at Charlottesville. 2 o'clock, ACC football presented by Subway again, Pack, lunch hour.
Double dip with a double dip.
Rutgers, Syracuse, Mike Cousins, Dustin Fox, and we welcome Dana Boyle to ACC Network football coverage. 5 o'clock, Dave O'Brien, Tim Hasselbeck, Kelsey Riggs will be at Frank Howard Field at Memorial Stadium for the Bulldogs of South Carolina State and Clemson.
Going to beat them boys by 100.
And then ACC primetime football presented by Geico from Tallahassee. John Gross has got Jacksonville State at Florida State. Roddy Jones, Larisha Harris, and I will be there for the call presented by Geico here on ACC Network and streaming live on that ESPN app.
We got so many games, the music ran
stopped
out.
Stopped and had to come back.
That's how many games we got.
Yeah, and we could have run down another list of on the family of networks. We'll do that later in the week. We got to tell you about these exclusives on ACCNX. When we come back, accounting. And some of you have submitted your choices.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. And Tuesdays normally mean accounting for us. I love it. This was difficult.
We're back.
This was tough. This was not easy off week one performances.
All right, I'll go first.
Go for it.
And you had to make some decisions here, as you normally do, but you had to make some, conscientious ones. Clemson lost to Georgia. Is Clemson still the best team in the ACC? I think so. So I put Clemson 1. After that, I'll tell you this. I thought if you won, you deserved to go up, and if you lost, you didn't. It's pretty simple from that point forward.
Unless you're Clemson.
Yeah, because I just think Clemson's that good. Right now, until somebody beats them in this league, I feel like Clemson's the best team. Until proven otherwise. NC State, Virginia Tech, Pitt, BC, Virginia, Wake Forest, Syracuse. Round out the top 8. And then we have the loser's bracket. North Carolina, Maryland, Florida State, Louisville, Duke, Georgia Tech. There you go. What do you think?
Well, I mean, that's your theory. What will be hilarious is if and when the social media department gets their hands on this and they post it for folks that did not hear your explanation, you're not going to be able to hear it on Instagram or wherever they put all that stuff.
Unless they put this in there.
No, they're not going to do that. No. And people will see that and go, I believe Wes Durham
lost his mind.
I think something's wrong with him. Something's needs wrong. To be checked out ASAP. Yeah. How in the world could
didn't
he put...
Didn't he grow up Carolina fan?
Well, I mean, you know that's coming. I mean, we would get ambushed last year on social media because there would be no explanation. There were people that actually believed that they thought I had 15 or 16 teams in the league,
right?
Last year,
yeah, that was my favorite.
Is this
too.
Packer guy? What's
he
up
know
with that?
Does he know there's only 15 teams of 14?
That Packer boy, he ain't right. He got the 16th team was the L.A. Dodgers. But doesn't he know this is a football poll and they're not in the ACC? Yeah, I'm well aware of it. So I suspect that Instagram or wherever they put all this stuff will just eat us alive.
Instagram,
is that where it is?
Twitter.
Okay, great.
All the socials, as they like to say.
I know you love all that stuff.
I didn't say I love it. Just watch it.
All right. Here we go. I'm giving you my 14.
All right.
Thought the same thing you did at the top with Clemson. You know what? Until proven otherwise in this league, it doesn't mean they can run the table. They're going to get a chance to prove it again. Mm-hmm. I got the Tigers 1, even though there's work to be done in the upstate of South Carolina. I put the Hokies at 2. And the reason for it is, you know what, when you beat a top 10 team, and that's what North Carolina was when they rolled into Lane Stadium,
right?
You get the benefit of the doubt.
That's right.
NC State could have easily been the 2 spot. They were impressive in their opener, taking care of business, beating up on South Florida, complete team effort. Mm-hmm. But Virginia Tech's win was more impressive. I only dropped North Carolina down to 4 because I think they're supremely talented. Still do.
Yeah.
Did they play well Friday? They did not. But give Virginia Tech all the credit in the world. They were the more physical team. North Carolina's got answers. They got to find some answers to some questions. You heard Mack Brown earlier today on the show. But I have trust that, you know, when you got Sam Howell, that offensive line, they'll wake up and figure it out. And they'll find another guy that can catch the ball mm-hmm. other than Josh Downs. So I think North Carolina's going to be okay. I like Pitt. They're in the same neighborhood as they were week one. Miami drops down a couple spots only because they got woodshedded by the best team in college football in Alabama. And this is an important week for the Canes to show me something. They'll be favored. They'll be at home. I don't want them sleepwalking at Hard Rock against App State because you find yourself in a fistfight. I like BC, too. Same kind of reasons. You know what? I had to drop them 2 spots only because of who fell and jumped above them. Hmm. But BC, I'm buying BC. Right? Buying like Jeff Hafley. 8, Wahoo Wah. You beat up on William and Mary. I expected you to. This week, we'll get a better feel for the Hoos as they take on Illinois at home. Florida State moved up one spot, but I could have moved them up even further. But you know what? Had they won the game, I'd probably have them in the top four or five. Kind of liked what I saw out of Mike Norvell's guys on Sunday night. I think they're trending in the right direction. The Swiss stay in the neighborhood at 10. Syracuse moves up a couple spots with a good win on the road against the Bobcats. They need to win that one, and they did.
Yep.
The team of mystery remains that way. They're at 12. Duke actually, I believe, moves up. I think they moved up, even with a loss, only because Georgia Tech was just that bad. You cannot lose at home to Northern Illinois, pay them seven figures, lose the lead, especially with that schedule. You got to be able to win those kind of games. So there you have it. 14 up, 14 down, and it will be a fluid, fluid situation each and every week on the show.
Look at us, Virginia Tech, Hokies, biggest risers in the poll.
It should have been. They earned it.
Absolutely.
Simple as that.
No
question. That was a big, I cannot emphasize how big a win that was for not only the program, fan base, and Justin Fuente. Humongous W.
I put Carolina and Miami in the below the line, obviously. Because of losing like they did.
Well, you created a loser's bracket.
I did create a loser's bracket. You kept Miami kind of in the neighborhood.
I think Miami, you know, did they play well? No, they didn't.
Okay.
Right? But, you know, Bama, like I said, Bama has the ability to make you look like, man, you've never played the game before. I just thought I'd get more competitiveness for Miami.
I agree.
I didn't expect my Bama's offense to be looking like it's the middle of October, right, with all the changes and so forth. So Miami drops a little bit from that perspective, just like North Carolina did.
All right, so the preseason 1-2 in the Coastal takes an L. Not a conference – well, in Carolina's case, conference game. Miami, not a conference game. So let's take a quick check at our friends down the hall at FBI.
Let's please do that.
Yeah, we're going to do that real quick because I think the people want to see this. And if you missed it earlier, we need to show you again. How did FBI look at the Coastal before the season? Miami 51% to win, Carolina 28, 11 for Virginia Tech, 7 for Pitt, 3 for Virginia. Now where are they? Miami's still the favorite, 32.5.
Well, they didn't lose a conference
I know.
Game.
Virginia Tech 31, Pitt 17, North Carolina 10, and Virginia right under 8, Georgia Tech and Duke. Each had 1%, less than a percent in the pre and currently.
And you add it all up, and it just goes to prove you they have no idea either how the Coastal is going to work out.
Well, an important notation, and I think the undefeated voice of victory reminded us of this earlier in the show. FPI is never wrong.
No, you're not going to convince me with using just that line. I mean, can we find the FPI numbers from last week? Because I'm curious. I don't know what they did in terms of percentage of wins. Because I heard last year when I brought this up, they were like, well, 63% chance to win if you lost the game. And they won someone. I'm like, hey, you either win or you lose. Right? You either win or you lose. You think Mac Brown's walking around going, well, you know.
FPI.
FPI said, no. We keep
Jeff Collins, we're at 92%.
No. It's a thing called scoreboard. Right. It's really the only thing that matters. You either won the game or you lost the game.
Okay. So now that you've seen that, we can fully tell you that the Coastal is wide open.
Kind of thought so anyhow. I mean, we thought Miami and North Carolina before the season started. Neck and neck. You could throw in somebody else if you're in the mood. But you got to play games. That's why all this crystal ball nonsense is a joke.
Let me tell you when you need to start looking, because there are a few games here on the old list that we're going to have to wait on, but it may be worth the wait. And some of them come up in
what's the alternative?
Week 5.
What's the alternative, Wes? You got to wait. That's my point with all of this. You know, we're going to get into week 2. I know you're going to break down week 5 and probabilities and all that stuff.
No, I'm just pointing out kind of where are the games that could give us chaos again.
They're all going to give you chaos.
Well,
it's
maybe.
The Coastal.
Sure it is. But some more than others. Like, what about 2 weeks, Virginia at Carolina? What about September 30, Virginia at Miami, Thursday night? Pair of them on the 16th. I've been circling the 16th of October for months. Then November 11, another Thursday night game, Carolina-Pittsburgh. Is the winner of the Coastal on that board?
Perhaps. Let me ask FPI. FPI says there's a 58.7% chance to answer your question, that yes, the answer is yes.
I cannot wait. One day, we're going to somehow find our way back to the Bristol campus.
We're never being back. We're never going to never be asked back. No way. We got our rookie cards, and that was it for us. Got a free ham sandwich and a rookie card.
So disappointing.
I'm just telling you. They don't need us up there. We never leave the basement. What makes you think we're going back
day,
to Bristol?
One day we're going to go back to Bristol, and Mark is going to go. He's going to walk into, I don't know, what's it called? D3, Digital 3, something 4, whatever the buildings are up there. You're going to walk into one of those buildings and go, I'd like to speak to FBI. And some very kind person is going to go, oh, FBI. Well, that's on the 4th floor over in the D2 building. Well, and you're going to go over the 4th floor in D2 and you're going to find FBI.
I will never be asked back.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Feeling good about that, aren't you?
Well, let me contact the FBI and give you the chances of me being back.
All right. When we come back, it's a birthday today. Got a birthday going on.
You think there's a chance they're going to let me leave the driveway today? How about that?
Yeah, you're going to get in the F-150.
I have to today.
Yeah, yeah. You got to. We got to get you back on the men. We got a birthday today, and we're going to check action on the pitch.
Excuse me?
We're going to do that too. Action on the pitch.
Pitch.
And we got a birthday. We got birthdays. The pitch.
I heard you.
Pitch. Man, you got to get your gout out of yours. Back in a moment.
Stuff in my neck.
Final segment of Packer and Durham on ACCN.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham. Final segment on a Tuesday broadcast, which in case you missed, you'll see it again coming up for the next 3 hours.
Coming up next, yep. Top of the hour. Tom Luganbill is here tomorrow, and we encourage you to submit your accounting. We've got some. In fact, we've got several already, and we're looking forward to more. You can hit hashtag Packer and Durham or tag West Durham or Mark Packer on Twitter. There you go. How's that?
Easy.
We've got some. Some of y'all been voting with your heart and not your heads.
It's okay.
That's okay.
You know, it doesn't matter. It's your list. It's your list.
All right. You want to go to the pitch?
Let's do it.
Let's go to the pitch. Men's soccer last night. Quick check of the scoreboard. Virginia Tech, Seton Hall, 3-3 tied, double overtime.
No place in ties. I'm just telling you, we need to eliminate ties. It's like the targeting rule. Does nothing for us.
Boston College 1, the Stags of Hartford 0. Yeah. Syracuse 2, the Purple Hawks of Niagara 0. NC State 2, UCF 1.
I hope all these teams got a nice check.
Clemson 3, South Florida 0.
Poor South Florida having a tough time scoring against anybody, aren't
Historic
they?
Historic Riggs Field.
Yeah.
Akron 2, Pitt 1.
What?
Bit of an upset, I think.
What?
Bit of an upset.
The Zips, are you kidding me? Is that right?
The other two.
Is that score right?
Yeah, I think it was. UNC 3, Davidson nothing. And then the one you may have seen at the end.
Can't believe Pitt lost.
Seattle. University of Seattle. The Fighting Elgin Baylors beat Duke in double overtime 1-0.
It's a bad loss.
Yeah.
That's a bad loss. I can't believe Pitt lost. Man. Lost to Akron.
I've been told Akron is 19.
I don't care. It's Pitt. Pitt soccer's the deal now.
Valentin Noel.
Yeah.
Been on the show several times.
Still don't know who we are.
That's
why I love him.
Yeah. You've asked this question a couple different times in the show today. The FPI numbers from a week ago.
For week one games.
Week one games.
Okay.
NC State was favored by 88.7%.
No problem.
North Carolina, 56.3.
Not quite accurate.
Duke, 64.2.
Not accurate.
Wake Forest, 97.3.
Gift.
BC, 98.2.
Gift.
Alabama, 80.4.
Gift.
Pittsburgh, 98.4.
Gift.
Ohio, 51.1.
Wrong answer.
That's it. Clemson, 69%.
Definitely wrong answer.
Georgia Tech, 83.8.
Wrong answer.
Virginia, 97.6.
Gift.
Notre Dame, 71.3.
Got that right.
Ole Miss, 70.1.
Got that right. So, pretty average. Kind of like my picks.
They were 8-5 in 13 games, FPI. 8-5. But they're never wrong. They were 13-0, Josh says.
Yeah, but the 8-5, and how many of those games were, you know, you knew. I mean, come on. Chester and Fuller, sound asleep, would have gotten those right. Whatever. We know who you are.
Okay, we have a couple of birthdays today. First birthday is Donovan Mitchell turns 25 today.
How about that?
All-star guard of the Utah Jazz, former Louisville star.
Did you think when he was rocking it at Louisville that he'd turn out to be as great as he is in the NBA? Did you? I mean, I'll be honest.
I thought he would be a good player in the NBA. I did not think he'd be this good.
I agree. He's kind of like, and I don't mean
I'm a big fan. He's a great guy.
You
by
told
the way.
Me that. I've never met him.
Great guy.
I don't mean to categorize guys, but I'm just talking about in terms of college career to pro. Mm-hmm. And this may not be accurate, but I remember Dwayne Wade watching him at Marquette.
Yeah.
And he was a good player.
Right.
And he went to the pros, and of course, he became a mega superstar.
Sure.
And hopefully Donovan does too. Mm-hmm. But it seems like the same kind of game that, you know, good mm-hmm. college player, yeah. you know, get a chance in the NBA, may be able to do something.
That's
but
right.
Man, he's exploded on the scene. He has been fantastic.
Yep. Happy 42nd birthday to Bill Rasmussen's Entertainment and Sports Programming Network.
How about that?
On this date, 1942, ESPN debuted with the inaugural edition of SportsCenter. And do you know who the two hosts were?
Excuse me?
Do you know who the two hosts of the first SportsCenter were?
It was Grand, right?
George Grand being one, correct.
The other guy, I can't picture. I had glasses.
He did.
God, what was his name?
Lee Leonard.
That's it.
Lee Leonard and George Grand host the very first SportsCenter from this desk, as Grand said.
Yeah. And back then, they might have had one coaster.
I'm pretty sure they had one coaster, maybe had a power strip.
Yeah.
And
people thought they were crazy.
Yeah.
When that thing got started, they'd be like, what is this small sport? Who wants to watch
I will tell
sports?
You that if you're curious about the company's history, James Andrew Miller's book is fantastic.
I got that book.
That's a fantastic book.
Is it down here? If it's not here, it's in the bookshelf right beside the front door here.
Yeah.
That's a great book.
Yeah.
Crazy.
James Andrew Miller wrote a great book about the history of the company. So happy birthday to ESPN. So good show today. You've done well. You're going to feel better tomorrow?
I hope so, because I got to tell you, this has been a painful, not because of anything you said or the content, the producer, but this has been a very painful 3 hours for me.
Got to get you back on stuff.
I just can't get 21 has just not been my year for health.
Maybe
the man upstairs is trying to remind me of something.
Got a couple of reminders here to you. We'll tell you more about this as we go through the week. But let me share this, because I know people are going to see this and they're not going to quite grasp this. There are four football games on ACC Network this week over the air. Illinois, Virginia, Rutgers, Syracuse, South Carolina State, Clemson, Jacksonville State, and Florida State. There are going to be three other games that are going to be available exclusively on the ACC Network X, which is part of the ESPN app. Norfolk State at Wake Forest, Middle Tennessee State at Virginia Tech, and Eastern Kentucky at Louisville. Those games are only available on the app or through ACC NX. Depending on how you connect to the ESPN app, through a desktop, what have you, that's the way those games are only going to be seen this coming Saturday. Just trying to keep people looped in on how you're going to see these games. By the way, ESPN will have Pitt and Tennessee. ESPN2 has NC State, Mississippi State. Anish Shroff will be down there for that. And ESPNU will have Appalachian State at Miami, 7 o'clock.
Needs to be a rebound week for ACC football.
Does indeed.
Really does. And listen, you want to win every game you play. I get all that stuff. It never works out that mm-hmm. way. But there are a couple games of note this week, and we'll talk about it more as the week goes on. Of course, preview.
We'll talk about one of them tomorrow. Tom Luganville.
Well, he's got Tennessee Pitt, yep. if I'm not mistaken, in Knoxville, and the Johnny Majors Classic, they're calling it. But I think this is an important week for the conference to kind of have a bounce back. And there's four games that you pay attention to. You know, Syracuse, Rutgers, to see if Dino can get to 2-0.
Yep.
Rutgers just put like 6,000 points on Temple over mm-hmm. the weekend. We know about the ACC-SEC matchups and Virginia yep. with the Big Ten matchup against Illinois. So It's important for the league to start getting some W's that you can sit back and go, guess what? That was a nice win.
Yeah.
Right? Kind of where right. That's kind of where we find ourselves after week one of the college football season.
Kind of gotten some interesting accounting already submitted. Don't get left out now. Hashtag Packer and Durham. You can tag Mark and I if you want to. Submit your accounting. We'll run through. Oh, we're going to have plenty to run through tomorrow. Some folks have just slapped the Hokies right on up there at the top of the card.
I get it.
I'm with you.
Listen, they got the best win, and it's not about reputation. It's not about what you did 5 years ago. It's about what you're doing in 21. So you can go there if you're in the mood.
Tom Luganville with us tomorrow. Thanks to the undefeated voice of victory, Josh Macri. West Hartford's amateur golfing champion, Andrew Brooks, Chrissy Velez, and our staff. Have a great day. We'll see you in the morning at 7.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.